Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm Executive Director for Christian Home Educators. I'm a pastor. But the reason I'm here today, father of five, daughter Emily in studio with me. I am. Dave Buhner also in studio with me, father of five. And we take the... Yeah, thank you, Dave. We take the controversial position on this program that people who kill their children do not love them. And I know there's a great deal of controversy on this one, Dave. But, you know, and I think the other thing is we try to excel in the obvious here. There just aren't enough people loving their children in Colorado or anywhere else in the world, and that's why we come back again and again to this topic. Now, obviously not everybody kills their children, but recently, just, well, north of my home here, 30, 40 miles, is a little town called Strasburg, and just a couple of weeks ago, they discovered a little baby in a pickup truck. The baby was dead. And now a second woman, there was a first woman arrested, now a second woman has been arrested on suspicion of first-degree murder in this death of this newborn out in Strasburg. Jennifer Lynn Teeters, 23, whom authorities describe as a friend of the infant's mother, is now scheduled to appear in Arapahoe County Court to be advised of charges. She also faces a charge of child abuse resulting in death, authorities said. The infant's mother, Christy Lee Cole, 23, also faces first-degree murder in addition to child abuse charges. The infant was found dead last week amid trash in the back of a 1971 Chevrolet truck at the Country Gardens Mobile Home Park near Strasburg, Colorado. Dave, here is a sad, sad case of what I guess we could call a sixth or seventh trimester abortion. This is not a good thing when parents hate their children to the point where they abuse the child and then kill it. Another sixth trimester abortion, in this case it was an abandonment, occurred in Bismarck just last week. And the Bismarck Tribune reports this. A father in North Dakota took his one-year-old daughter to the hospital and just left her there saying he would no longer take care of her. Now, this is obviously very similar to Jean-Jacques Rousseau, who is the father of modern education. The man wrote the book Emile, which is still used, by the way, in most education schools. The book is the book on how to educate a child in the modern world. Jean-Jacques Rousseau abandoned five of his own children on the steps of an orphanage and then wrote the book on how to love children in the statist way and take care of them by way of the state. And effectively, this father in North Dakota did not want to care for his child and so just abandoned it.
But we have thousands of cases of this every day where fathers will leave their families and just go away, either through the divorce or abandonment. So this is pretty common. This is just unusual that he actually took them to the hospital instead of just left.
Ladies and gentlemen, only two problems we're dealing with today on this program. People do not love God, and they do not want to love their children. In fact, the Bureau of Justice reports that of children murdered under the age of five, 61% are murdered by their own parents. And Dave, the problem is one of love. It's a lack of love. And, you know, Dave, it is possible to be pro-life and yet to be an angry pro-lifer. I've met angry pro-lifers before, people who say they are pro-life and yet they yell at their children, they say hateful things to their wives. And Dave, there is something very deep in the hearts of all people. And it is the problem of sin. And Dave, if you have children, you know that that problem exists in your heart as well. And we need to come face to face with these problems. When we deny the hate, the anger that is in our own hearts, in our own lives, with our own children, and yet we're out there campaigning for the pro-life cause everywhere else, we've really missed the core issue, haven't we?
Yeah, it's one thing to be against abortion. It's another thing to be against your own children. And to do it correctly, to do it God's way, you're going to love God. And you might have some righteous anger from time to time, but by and large, you're going to be thankful and grateful and worshiping a sovereign God. And anger is not really one of the fruits of the Spirit, as I recall.
The problem is our passion is for ourselves, not for the law of God. And Dave, I think what happens when a nation turns away from God as being God, as being the one we ought to worship and serve and love, and when we begin to make ourselves the center of all of that, we turn ourselves into the lawgiver. We may be pro-life, But we're not really pro-life. We're ultimately pro-ourselves. And we wind up breaking relationships with our own families and our own friends. And we turn into angry, wrathful, hateful people. And in the end, we're making the same mistake that those people are making who are killing their children by the 30, 40 millions.
It's one thing to be against abortion. It's another thing to be for the kingdom of Christ. And for the kingdom of Christ means a whole lot more than just stopping the death. Yes, it means that we should be appalled at the death that's happening of young children in these abortuaries. But it also means standing for righteousness, doing good, visiting the widow, visiting the childless in their affliction. It means a whole lot more. And so the problem is, I think they get out of balance. They get a little righteous indignation because people are killing babies. It's something that we should be a little upset about. And yet they let that spill over to all the other areas of life. And it doesn't quite, it eclipses their thankfulness, their gratitude, and the work of grace.
In just a moment, my friends, we're going to speak with an expert on the issue of abortion, what is happening in America in relation to abortion, the problems with abortion in terms of the health of the mother, but more importantly, what it is doing to families, minority families across America. Eve Silver will be with us next on Generations. We want to talk about loving children or not on Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson.
Deeply embedded on the front lines of the War of the Worldviews, here's your host, Kevin Swanson.
Welcome back to Generations, my friends. Kevin Swanson here with you today. The subject is abortion. We're taking on the pro-life issue. And we are speaking with Eve Silver, who is Executive Director of Clear Research. She is a former charter member of the Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer Foundation's National Hispanic Latina Advisory Council. And Eve will be in town to speak on September 29th. That's a Saturday with Colorado Right to Life. And we just asked Eve to join us today on Generation to share a little bit about what is happening in some of this research relating to abortion. Eve, thank you for joining us today.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you, Kevin.
Obviously, we got a problem. Since 1973, something like 50 million babies have lost their lives in abortion clinics across America. What can we say about a society in general that kills its babies? Why does this sort of thing happen, do you think?
We know that a society without progeny is doomed. You know, Hitler forbid abortion because he knew this to be true, and he was trying to build a society. Why does it happen? I think what's ultimately happened is that in our society, the family has been sacrificed on the altar of the I, the individual. So the individual has become more important than the family, and their children are expendable.
Do you believe that abortion is immoral yourself?
Oh, absolutely. God hates the shedding of blood. And we know there are verses in Scripture. Micah 6:7 says, "Shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" Deuteronomy forbids child sacrifice. And this is what's happening. We're talking about a new religion that sacrifices children.
And I think for the most part, people do it for the sake of convenience. They just don't want children to interfere in their lives. Do you get that sense yourself?
Absolutely. Mother Teresa said specifically, she said, "You should be ashamed to kill a child so that you may live as you wish." And I think that really summarizes it. I'm not a Catholic, but I think that statement summarizes and encapsulates what the problems are.
Obviously, lots and lots of people are pulled into this thing. I'm not sure what the statistics are in terms of how many women have had abortions in America, but how would you counsel a friend, a woman that is about to have an abortion yourself?
I think it's a hard thing, and I'm asking women who are listening, listen out there. No one has to die because of your situation. If you contact the people that are at Colorado Right to Life, they will help you to be able to work through your situation. I think people feel, Kevin, that they are trapped and there's no way out, but there are many of us who have seen these things over and over and know there are many creative ways to think about other answers so that no one has to die.
You know, I think a lot of us know about the crisis pregnancy centers that are there caring people who are willing to come side by side with you and provide you counsel and resources, those sorts of things. But there are women out there, you say, that feel trapped. Is that because they don't know about any of the other options?
I think that that's certainly a problem, the idea of not having another option, the idea that my parents are going to kill me, my dad is going to kill me, my situation with my husband is such that I don't want to have another child. But I have met women very recently that have had 4 and 5 abortions. And really, a lot of women use abortion as a form of birth control. And what's frightening is that they're not aware of the abortion breast cancer link. And every abortion creates more and more problems for women so that they are at risk for breast cancer.
And the fact of the matter is, women have been lied to. Let's not kid ourselves here. There has been so much misinformation out there about abortion. I mean, the little child is a child. Has the same number of chromosomes that you and I do. By the time it's 6-8 weeks old, it's got a heart rate, etc. And I think a lot of people have been told that this is not a child yet. That's, of course, silliness if they sit down to think about it, especially if that child is kicking in the womb, which it may not be in, you know, in the 10th or 11th week. But they have to be told this is a child. They have to be reminded of that, don't they?
You know, something, what they need to be reminded of in my mind is that this is a person. There is no difference between the child and the womb and me. And Planned Parenthood and organizations that kill people, we need to remind people that's what's happening. People are being killed. Doesn't matter how old they are. They are being killed. And people need to be reminded those children are people, just like any other person. And I think by keeping the idea of that we're talking about a child being killed, that it, and people changing the name of a child to a fetus and so on, you can't get around the fact that this is a person.
Yeah, there's a lot of Orwellian newspeak going on all the time with this abortion issue, and it just covers up the whole thing. But let's get back to the connection between abortion and breast cancer. I was part of the pro-life movement now, I think, since 1983. And it seems to me that this connection has been obvious. It's been, you know, I've recognized it. I've read the studies. I've seen things for decades now. And yet there are a lot of folks out there that don't know about that connection.
That's right. But there are many organizations forming and groups forming and groups that have been steady for years. The Breast Cancer Prevention Institute is the bcpinstitute.org. People can find out information from them. Coalition on Abortion Breast Cancer, that's abortionbreastcancer.com. My own organization, clearresearch.org. ProLifeJoes.com, which is a men's organization that's formed, it's international. And AbortionTV.com, which is also international. There are many organizations, Colorado Right to Life, and many Catholic organizations and other organizations. The word is getting out, and that is causing problems, especially for the Komen Foundation.
Why are they so upset about that?
Well, people are finding out that the Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer Foundation funds Planned Parenthood.
Wow, that's incredible. Wow, Planned Parenthood is out there aborting babies right and left and creating the scenario for breast cancer. Why don't you explain to our listening audience for a moment, Eve, the connection that exists between breast cancer and abortion? You think it's pretty much a proven connection, don't you?
Oh, yes. There's physiological evidence that's been proven by Drs. Russo and Russo of Fox Chase Cancer Center in 1980. They published results of their study that involved laboratory rats, and these confirm the relationship between abortion and increased risk of breast cancer. The physiology of a laboratory rat, unfortunately, is exactly like very similar to a woman's breast. So we were able to get clinical data that proves these things. And the information, as you said, has been out for many years, almost 50 years now. Information has been out. Other studies have been done. But people are not aware of the actual physiological connection between abortion and breast cancer. May I just mention how that is?
Yes, please explain it for our audience.
It's very, very simple if you listen. The breast is the only immature organ when a person is born. For men, the breast does not mature and does not produce milk. For women, the breast is only immature organ. Your liver is mature, kidneys, everything is already ready to function, but not the breast. It only immatures after a woman's body has given birth, after a woman has given birth, and does not mature until after 32 weeks of pregnancy. Abortion interrupts the process of breast maturation and increases breast cancer risk by exposing sensitive breast cells to the estrogens, which makes cells grow so that a woman, when she's pregnant, her breasts grow. And then those cells normally would convert and become cells that produce milk. The process of that conversion is like putting an end cap on a live wire. And when those live wires are not capped, they are exposed to estrogen, which we know from the World Health Organization in 2005. They made a very clear statement that these things, that estrogen is a carcinogen. And so by interrupting pregnancy, you will expose those live endings of those little breast cells to the carcinogens that can cause breast cancer.
You know, it makes a lot of sense the way you put it there, Eve. And if you got this message out and you were able to speak to millions of women and say, you know, there is risk here that you will contract breast cancer if you have this abortion, do you think that would prevent some women from having an abortion?
Yes. Yes, I do. And I can speak to that firsthand. I am an abortion and a breast cancer survivor twice. Had two abortions when I was very young, and then later developed breast cancer. And another factor is that women with history of breast cancers in their family have even higher risk of breast cancer, especially with abortion. But see, for me and for all those young women out there who are listening, when I was a kid, I didn't know my history because my history was still in my future. My mother, who developed breast cancer, did not develop it until after I was 20. My abortions were before that age. When you think about those situations and the fact that those facts are still in your future, you don't know that. Like in my situation, my grandmother also died of breast cancer. A cousin, 1 year younger than me, died of breast cancer. Now, could not have known all those facts because those were still in my future. So my history had not happened yet. And my perspective was, you know, as an animal, because I wasn't even a Christian at that point, I believed that I could certainly do what I needed to do with my body whenever I felt like it. And as a result, I had those two abortions. I think it's important for women to understand and to hear from someone like me who has been there, done that, and is saying to them, listen, you're not well informed. You're not well informed. And part of the information that you need has not happened to you yet because you're young and your parents, your mom, your grandmother, your cousins, none of these people have yet developed what may in turn turn out to be the factors of breast cancer.
Folks, lots of risks in those abortion clinics, lots of risks. Risks to the women, of course, risks to the little babies who almost inevitably lose their lives in those clinics. And Eve Silver with me today to discuss this critical issue. And Eve, before we part ways, one more thing. We want to talk a little bit about minorities and abortion. You are a member of a minority. You're Native American, is that correct?
Yes, I'm Latina and Native American.
Okay,
and there is a much higher incidence of abortion among minorities than whites here in America. Also, blacks and Latinos will have, across the board, more aggressive cancers, and they have poorer outcomes from those cancers.
Why more abortions among the minorities, the blacks and the Latinos?
Very interesting. We are witnessing in our nation a progressive American genocide of what some people call the unfavored races. In America today, almost as many black children are aborted as born.
Wow.
And a black baby is three times, Kevin, more likely to be aborted than a white baby. And since 1973, abortion has reduced the entire black population by 25%.
Oh, man.
15% of all black American women have 35% of all the abortions in America. These are the facts that are not getting out. It is people like myself and other people who are talking about the link between abortion and breast cancer and the facts of abortion that people don't realize who Margaret Sanger is. You know, when you learn about the beginnings of an organization, it helps you to understand where they're going. Margaret Sanger was a eugenist. She believed that the eradication and sterilization of unfavored races or dysgenic races is why she started those centers, why she started Planned Parenthood, to eliminate people of color.
And you're talking about Planned Parenthood here. Do you really believe that they target minorities? I mean, are they more interested in eliminating the black little kids than the whites?
Yes, 80% of all killing calluses for societal sacrifice are in minority and low-income neighborhoods. 80%.
Wow. Wow. That's not even equal opportunity killing.
No, it's not. There are many people of color that are learning for the first time the history of Planned Parenthood and now about its bloody relationship to the Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer Foundation, who's been funding this organization and claiming that they're helping with breast services, while we know for a fact that in 2003, breast services went down over 100,000 and abortions went up over 14,000.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the message is clear today. Love God, fear God, don't kill your baby, and you know what? In the end, you're going to see the risk of breast cancer decrease across America. And Eve Silver is bringing this important message to the radio waves and also to Denver. You can visit with her on September 29th. She's coming to speak for Colorado Right to Life. Folks, you have been listening to Generations, and you can interact with the program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world, at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.